Dialing 8th and Walton. Conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton Conference Call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for downloading the podcast today. My name is Jared Davis. Welcome to the 8th and Walton Conference Call. This is it. This is the one I've been threatening to do for weeks. It's our big email episode. You know who I got to visit with this week? And I'm so thankful that she shared her knowledge with us. Miss Gina Miller from the Mitchell Communications Group. We've got Gina for the whole show. And she is, first of all, going to speak to us about our dependence on email and why it's so critical to get this down to a science, because it is our primary form of communication in the business world. Then we're going to talk about what you really need to consider before you hit that send button on any email, and then we'll wrap things up with some basic email etiquette. Now, before we get into our first segment with Ms. Miller, I want to talk to you for a second. You and I, you know, we're close. We visit every week. You're so nice to be, you know, downloading the 8th and Walton conference call. Hopefully you're sharing it with friends. But this is what I want to talk to you about. This episode is not for you, because I know you. Your email is fine. You're probably as frustrated with the people in your office, just like I'm frustrated with some people that I have to deal with that are sending me emails. Listen to this podcast, but please use this podcast. That guy in your office who's still typing in all caps, who's sitting 2 feet away from you and sending you an email, then just turning around and saying, "Hey, did you get that email I just sent you?" This podcast is for him. So listen to the podcast and then send the link to that person and just say, "Hey, I heard this. I think that there's some great things in here that you might enjoy." And hopefully they'll understand. Oh, and by the way, if you work in an office with someone and they sent you this podcast, yeah, you may want to pay extra attention to it. So without any further ado, let's get into the first part of our interview with Miss Gina Miller. Emma, will you please, let's start right at the beginning. Let's go to track number one.
I am so excited to be in the studio with Miss Gina Miller. Gina is Vice President of the Center for Training, Business, and Leadership Excellence for Mitchell Communications Groups. Thank you so much for being here, Gina.
Thanks, Jared. Our topic of discussion today is pretty much something that relates to everybody. We all have this email thing, right? So I'm grateful to be here today to just share a few tips.
Well, I want to talk to you about, because, you know, I'm going to add something to your title, which is going to be therapist, because I've got so many email issues to work through today. But it really does seem like email has become the preferred method of communication, no matter what job you're in. So just how wide of a scale are we talking about?
You know, out there, there's about 265 billion emails that are being sent, you know, every day to a user base. That really is about 4.1 billion. So there's a lot, right? There's a lot of people like you, Jared, that need the therapy. So I think there's job security in that. You know, some days I really do feel like I'm getting all 269 billion, right? They're in my inbox. The average person really gets about 125 per day. We also know that about 70% are using their smartphones to read and to send emails on the go. So interestingly enough, about half of that mobile user audience actually reports checking email in the bathroom. So, you know, we're really multitasking in that capacity. And 18% are admitting that they're doing it while driving. So for some reason, we're seeing that email has become very, very important to us.
I'm not going to tell you which of those groups I fall into that you just read. But
Because, you know, in therapy, you don't have to confess, right?
Everything's secret in therapy. I am going to date myself a little bit, because I can. You talked about the dependence of email a little bit, but you also spoke to the mobility. My very first email account was not mobile. Do you remember computers?
Yeah, I remember when they took up like a whole room.
So I want to ask you about that, because you did talk about the dependence. So as email has become more mobile and we're growing this dependence on it, has that really contributed to the convenience of, you know, using this medium in the workplace?
Well, I think convenience is a really big issue. I mean, it's not much easier than to be able to communicate with somebody that is the result of a couple of clicks on a keyboard. You know, you press send and it's there. And, you know, some of our workplace cultures, and we're seeing it especially in our younger generations, they're very reliant on it. This email has become their go-to communication where, you know, you referenced our generation remembering the room-sized computer. You know, we were face-to-face. That was what our key go-to was. And so we're seeing a very big change in the use of this medium in terms of our primary go-to communication. I love the, you know, the classic example. You hear it several times, but I can personally testify to it. It happens in the pod world, you know, where there's just that single padded wall that divides you from your coworker. And we end up sending an email that says, hey, want to go to lunch? Instead of literally leaning around and, you know, having that face-to-face interaction. But we also use email to create those sometimes needed paper trails. You know, I've got some accountability or I need some documentation. So there's lots of reasons. But I think one just really can't be debated. And that's based on my professional observations and other communication professionals. And this is just the fact that there is that heavy reliance on email communication. IMing, it's expanding into a lot of different ways of electronic connections. It's really taking the toll on our interpersonal skills. But I think that's a whole other podcast, right?
Well, on the interpersonal skills, why do you think that is, that it's having this effect?
Well, it's really the nature of the beast. You know, email's more convenient. I don't have to pick up the phone. I can say in a couple of sentences what you might want to make all that small talk by the, you know, water cooler. And I'm really busy. I've got my head down. I can execute the way I need to execute with a simple email. And that phone, it's so inconvenient. 7 to 10 digits I have to press, you know. So, or I have to get out of my chair and actually walk to you when I could just IM. All of that. And I think actually what's happening is when we have this over-dependence on a single mode of communication, in this case, electronic, we find individuals simply lose the opportunities for that third dimension. That's the humanization, the nonverbal, our intonations, our inflections, you know, all the things that really make communication colorful. And, you know, here rests our challenge. The other greater concern comes when we select this mode for more complex or even controversial topics. Remember, if we're really relaxed with it, we'll just use it all the time, right? There's sometimes where we have to use a different medium, or we should. This is when we see that long series of back and forth emails to explain what we tried to explain, but find ourselves still explaining, and we got the back and forth and the back and forth. And I would really like to think that this is our first main point, Jared, which is that realization that email is only one mode of communication. We have to analyze our message. We have to ask ourselves, what do we want to have happen as a result of this communication? And then we have to determine the best mode to do that. Is it email? Is it a phone call? Is it a Skype or something that gives us that face-to-face dimension?
We are going to continue with our interview with Ms. Gina Miller from the Mitchell Communications Group in just a few minutes. Right now, though, I want to take a reality break. You don't hear a lot of reality breaks in podcasts, but I feel like I owe you an explanation. As we were putting the thought process into the email episode, I really thought it was just me a lot of the times. You know, am I the only person that something hits their inbox and I just want to bang my face against the keyboard because I can't figure out what this person was even thinking before they hit that send button? Oh, was I wrong? It is not just me. You know what I did? I took my microphone and I just walked around the office one day and I said, what is your biggest email pet peeve? What problems are you having with people sending you emails? Here's the response I got. Have a listen.
If you are so unfortunate to be in a group message, do not reply all. Reply all. If you send an email to somebody and you are RSVPing for something or applying, please do not reply all a million times.
No signature on a reply is definitely a pet peeve for me.
All caps. I don't prefer all caps because it kind of makes you feel like they're being rude or aggressive or kind of disrespectful sometimes.
My pet email peeve is using email when a phone call or an in-person exchange and communication is preferred. If you suspect that somebody might react negatively or emotionally to news or information you're sending, give that person the courtesy of phoning him or meeting him in person. It goes much more smoothly, although it's not as easy to do if you're a chicken.
Do not put your email in all caps. That is considered screaming at someone. Follow proper grammar procedures. I agree, do not reply all, and do not start adding people to an email chain that have no need to be on the email chain. This is supposed to be clear, concise, simple communication. Otherwise, walk over to their desk and talk to them or pick up the phone.
Or my other one is, if I send you an email, I don't think it's necessary for you to reply back, thanks. It's like you have to get in the last word. So I would just like to leave it as that. Or I get 25 thanks. Thanks, 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 thanks.
When someone emails several people with clear to-dos, but not saying who the to-do is for. And also, for marketing emails, I am apparently stuck in this millennial demographic, and so I keep getting marketing emails talking to me as if I'm 13 on a text messaging with lowercase pronouns, just horrible grammar, and all these slang words that I don't want to have to sort through. If you're going to email me like I'm an adult.
One of my biggest pet peeves is when you're sending out a blast email, and rather than protecting the privacy of your list, you put everyone in CC rather than in BCC. That way, that whole email list and trail of addresses can be forwarded, replied all to, copied, and sent out for distribution that totally violates your trust with the person you're communicating with.
Stop emailing me.
I want to thank everyone in the office that took part in my little informal survey, especially my buddy Matthew right there rounding us out at the end. He's just tired of getting so many emails. Thank you, Matthew, and to everyone else. Let's get back to our interview with Miss Gina Miller. We're going to get into the meat and potatoes of it now. Emma, please fire up track number two.
When it comes to email, what are some of those things that we really need to consider before we even sit down to compose?
I think today, if I could, I'd love to share just a few easy to apply tips that really will immediately improve your email effectiveness. And then maybe a few general email etiquette best practices. So,
okay, well, then let me get on the couch. Okay, so I'm comfortable.
Can I get you a drink? Do you need any
water? Go right ahead.
You know, first and foremost, be cautious with overly casual communication. You know, using texting jargon and abbreviations, incomplete sentences. Often we're seeing a lot of slang coming in. Basically, lazy speech. When it may be socially acceptable in some circles, it's really not in the professional realm. And it's considered overly casual. And so when we talk about personal branding in the workplace, realize that your email is your calling card. It's often what others use to set a perception of you. And throwing in a few LOLs or the crying or maybe the angry emoji really may not position you well for that next promotion. So think about that. What you write should reflect your level of professionalism and not detract from it. On another note, realize that it might be appropriate for casual email to be sent to your friend or a buddy about the big game maybe this weekend. But once you send that email, you fully relinquish control. You know, and I think you can really understand that, right? We don't have any more control over where that may go, what may be said, or whose inbox that could actually travel to. It could be forwarded virtually to anyone, and we really might not even know about it or have any control over it. So really want to pay attention to that piece.
You know, you remind me, I was in an HR seminar once, and the lawyers always love to come in, but his advice was, before you hit send on any email, imagine if it was read out loud in a court deposition. You've heard that before.
Yeah, how are you going to feel when it's read from the stand? Because is it going to make you look professional? Is it going to have a negative impact on your company? That's another factor. You know, the next email benefit behavior that I think we really want to look at also has to do with that idea of perception. How are you going to look? And it's the email signature. We see a lot of abuse happening with that signature. Although you may feel that you're expressing your personality, you know, with that flowery background or the signature that includes your favorite sports logo or maybe a religious scripture or, you know, even an inspirational quote. You think, what's wrong with a quote from Lincoln, right? But trust me, this is one to really keep business and keep it basic. Name, title, contact. It's appropriate to include your organizational mission statement, but avoid your personal one. Remember, that's probably better suited for your personal email. Your business email belongs to the company, and it needs to reflect that. So maybe save the whale statement probably should be better on your Gmail account.
You hit it on the head with the last statement as well, is that you don't always know who your audience is. So you don't know what their political leanings are, what their beliefs are. So, yep, you're representative of your company.
You know, especially if you're working in a client world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so easy to have those little things have a perception of you that they might taint you or they just might not feel as comfortable with you. Third, also about perception, use that BCC sparingly. It's often advised to use a foreword instead of the BCC, and that's simply because we want to be able to explain the reason for that blind carbon copy or send an email in advance of the BCC that states why it's coming and what it's about. Nothing is really worse than receiving that email and wondering why you're being pulled in or what does this have to do with you or what action is expected from you. Often BCC without that explanation makes the sender look like maybe a little bit of a tattletale or the backroom broker, you know, somebody trying to get you voted off the island. That explanation is very critical. The next tip here is to proofread. Definitely look twice before you press that send button, especially on a mobile device. It's so easy to switch a few letters or have autocorrect jump in and take control of your email, right? You intend to tell your team, for example, that you're going to be a few minutes late to a meeting because you're quickly swinging by the doctor for maybe some forms, but you miss the F and you press the W and you've changed the word from forms to worms and everybody gives you a hard time for the next month or so because of the email. Of course, this might be hypothetical from my personal experience. I'm just saying. Just know, proofread to best avoid giving your coworkers that perfect material to roast you at the retirement party, right? So in general, really just remember these tips are simple things that you can do to just be sure your messages are best received and are most effective.
All right, we have got more with Ms. Gina Miller coming up next. I hope you're learning a lot. Are you taking a couple of notes? Are you at least making a list of people in your office that you need to forward this podcast to very desperately? We've got the email etiquette segment coming up in just a minute. Stick around. This is the 8th and Walton Conference Call.
Hi, my name is Charles Redfield. I'm excited to talk to you today about the upcoming Trends in Technology Conference sponsored by the Walton College of Business. This year, we've got a very different conference, but I think you'll also find it very engaging and very dynamic. We've got subjects like the future landscape of retailing, the next generation shopper, and also supply chain and that last minute delivery. We've got some fantastic industry leaders to talk about those things to you. People like Jamie Iannone, President and CEO of SamsClub.com, Linda Dillman, who's a retired Chief Information Officer from QVC, and also Mark Wallace, who's a Senior Vice President of Global Engineering and Sustainability from UPS. So we've got a pure e-commerce player, an e-commerce and brick and mortar player, and also supply chain, which makes the whole entire thing work. So you're not going to want to miss this conference. It's Wednesday, April 26th at the John Q. Hammond Center here in Rogers, Arkansas, and we hope to see you there.
When it comes to the actual etiquette, are there email etiquette rules that we need to think about before we hit that send button?
You know, first, let's first understand what etiquette is. Etiquette is the customary code of polite behavior in society, and it's also among any members of a particular group or profession. So the bottom line, think of etiquette as we go into this next section, Jared, as really being about consideration for other people. It's about respect.
So here we are. We're in the pod world. What are some of those rules of email that we need to think about? And because we want to show, you know, respect and consideration for not only people we work with, but for people we don't know that we're sending emails to.
Let's take a quick look at just some handful of ways. And these, again, are simple areas that often I see violated. But also, when we follow these simple rules, we'll see an immediate impact. I want to go back to something I said earlier. Always ask, when you have that communication and you're drafting it, what do I want to have happen as a result of this communication? And let's add to it some consideration for the receiver, right? Is it an executive? Is it a client, a new client, a long-standing client? Is it my buyer? You know, what is it, just your good buddy? You cannot compose at the keyboard. Take a minute to structure your email. Think it through so it's most easily understood by the recipient, not most conveniently written by yourself. Do some audience analysis to understand what they need from you to really enable you to give them what they need. So I think you have to make it relevant, right?
Now, is this a good time to bring up reply all? Because I don't know if you heard...
Get back on the couch.
Earlier in the show, we talked about... I actually went around the office asking people what their pet peeves were. Reply all seems to be everyone's evil nemesis.
Oh, the reply all. Let's just talk about that, right? The classic case is when your inbox is already filled, and it gets even more full with when you're CC'd on that stream of thank you. No, thank you. And then we're thanking you for thanking me for thanking you, right? And meanwhile, we have 10 more emails in our inbox. I need that original information, but I don't need that long list of gratitude, right? Remove individuals from the trail when it is no longer specifically relevant to them, when it's not needed. Also, edit the emails before you forward those on or you reply. Maybe new people are pulled in and we have this big long list that's not all relevant anymore. So remove the unneeded information. Maybe it's an attachment, you know, those types of things. Keep it clean, keep it simple, and keep only the individuals on that chain that need to be on it.
I feel much better. So, Gina, I want to ask you this.
What helped today? That's all we needed.
I want to know, because you've really given us a great snapshot of, you know, email etiquette, email rules, and so forth. For anyone that really wants a deep dive into this or some of the other great things that Mitchell Communications offers, where can we go to learn more and what do we have to offer?
Mitchell does a monthly webinar. Often these are the types of topics that we talk about, usually soft skills and definitely communication-based. You know, you get a bunch of communication strategists in a company, and that's what we like to do, right? The other thing is there's lots with email in general and etiquette in general. There's a lot of really good resources out there with the Emily Post Institution. You know, so Emily's still around. She still has a name for herself. So a lot of online resources are available for you as well. And then, of course, Mitchell, we do a lot of customized training. So if there's a real specific problem at one of your locations or at an organization out there, we can customize a solution.
Gina, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Please come back and visit.
You bet. Anytime.
And that is going to do it for this very special episode of the 8th and Walton Conference Call. My thanks again to Ms. Gina Miller and all of Mitchell Communications Group for playing along with us today. Thank you for downloading it. Thank you for sending it along to someone else. Just keep forwarding this podcast on to the next person. Let's make communication better through email. Now that you can put in all caps.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at athanwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliates. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.